نحمده ونصلي ونسلم على رسوله الكريم أما بعد الحمد لله with the mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala last week we had the privilege to go over Surah Fatiha and from Surah Fatiha we affirmed the fact that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the Rabb, Rabbul Alameen. He is the one that we worship. And at the end of Surah Fatiha, we beseeched Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for guidance. And I said something last week, which in regards to Surah Fatiha, that Surah Fatiha is the quintessence or the gist of the entire Quran. And now going into Surah Baqarah, we would have the tafsir. Surah Baqarah, the Surah of the Cow, because we have the tazkirah, or we speak regarding how Bani Israel, they started to worship the cow when Musa alayhi salatu wasalam, he was called to Mount Tur. Surah Baqarah has 6,201 words in the actual surah. It has 25,500 letters. And it has 286 ayah, verses of this surah. This surah is the longest surah in the Holy Quran. And this surah is a Madani surah, meaning that it was revealed after Hijrah. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has said regarding this surah, that make a habit, Surah Baqarah, he has make a habit of reading the surah, Surah Baqarah, because reading this surah, it brings a lot of barakah, blessing into one's life. And not reading this is a source of remorse and regret. And it is a misfortune for an individual because he loses out on all these barakat. And also the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, he has said that the men of falsehood, they cannot overcome this surah. And he means regarding the magicians. We live in a society, unfortunately, that in today's time, magic has become on. It has become a common thing that when somebody can't get something they want or they become jealous, then they resort to these avenues to afflict some form of evil on an individual. And the Prophet Allah, he also has said that a house in which this surah is recited, Surah Baqarah, then shaitan, he wishes to flee from the house. So the asrat or the athar, the effects of shaitan, they won't exist in the house that this surah is continuously recited. And a person who recites this over and over, let's say on a continuous basis, then they become immune to the effects of the evil of magic. And we find that these ayat, such as Alif Lam Mim until Muflihun, Ayat al-Kursi, and then those ayat that come after, La Ikraha Fi Din, Khatabayna Rushd Min al-Ghay, and then Amina Rasul to the end, those come in the ayat of Ruqya as well. And it is said that this surah, Surah Baqarah, is the apex of the Qur'an, the pinnacle of the Qur'an. That when this surah was revealed, one ayah was carried by 80 angels upon its revelation. 80 angels carried one verse. Now imagine, Alif Lam Mim is a verse. So 80 angels actually carried this verse down upon when it was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And we learn from Abu Huraira, he has said that the verses of the throne are in Surah Baqarah, and the verses of the throne, Ayatul Kursi, it is these verses, they actually have superiority of over all of other verses in the entire Holy Quran. So Surah Baqarah has its merits. Then in Surah Baqarah you have Ayatul Kursi, and we learn from Abdullah ibn Mas'ud, he says that a person who recites at night, Alif Lam Mim until Muflihun, Ha'ulaika lahumul Muflihun, and then the Ayat al-Kursi, and then the last ayat of Surah Baqarah, no illness will befall him that night, and if he, no illness, meaning no calamity will befall him at that night, because these carry such weight. And also, if he is suffering from some form of, let's say, illness, you'll see that his condition will slowly improve. Let's say he's suffering from madness. His condition by the nur and barakah of these ayat will slowly improve, and this is actually proven. Ibn al-Arabi, he has distinguished this surah, the fact that 1,000 injunctions lie in this surah. 1,000 prohibitions Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has in this surah. 1,000 points of wisdom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala put in this surah, Surah Baqarah. And also 1,000 parables and historical events lie in this surah. And Hazrat Umar bin Khattab, the great Khalifa of Islam, he learned this surah for 12 years. Only Surah Baqarah, he went into the nooks and cranny and he digressed and he learned what Surah Baqarah was about. And then we learn Abdullah ibn Umar, he also learned this surah for 8 years, like I've said previously. And then again, Surah Baqarah, when the companions would learn this and memorize this, their status would elevate and it would become higher in the eyes of the people. And it is such because Allah has put so much just in this one surah of the Holy Quran. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he begins the surah with Alif Lam Mim. Alif Lam Mim, Alif Lam Mim, the isolated letters are the huruf muqatta'at. Muqatta'at. Baz mufassirin, some mufassirin, the rai, the opinion is that these are the Alif Lam Mim, Ha Mim Noon, the isolated letters, the huruf muqatta'at. They are the names of the actual surah. And other mufassirin, they have said that these are the symbolic meanings of the names of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. However, this is one opinion. These are two opinions. However, the majority and the consensus is the fact that we don't have any clear and direct understanding of what these really mean. We know that Allah, He has given them to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. We know that there is reward in reciting them. And we know that they catch the attention of the person when these are recited. Like if a person, he recites with Dini wa Zaytun, it doesn't catch the attention. However, if a person recites Alif Lam Mim, naturally the ears become focused on what is now going to be recited. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put a lot of things in Alif Lam Mim. And they're amongst the mutashabihat, meaning that because we don't know, we will not go into what they mean, and a person who does so naturally, he'll find himself in error. And Amir al-Shabi and Sufyan al-Thawri, they say that every book has hidden signs and secrets of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He put these different signs and secrets in other books as well. However, Alif, Lam, Mim, Noon, etc., these are the secret signs that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has put in the Holy Quran. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He goes on to say, ذَلِكَ الْكِتَابُ لَا رَيْبَ فِيهِ, that in this book, there is no doubt. Now Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He uses ذَلِكَ. ذَلِكَ is اسم أشرة for بعيد. It's for something to point for in a distance. However, something should have been said here, هَذَا كِتَاب, that this book. However, Allah says that book. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ, it's a hudayat for man, or the muttaqeen. Now why did Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, instead of hadha yu dhalika? There can be two things. One is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala subtly tries to point back to Surah Fatiha, that now you have asked for guidance, and we didn't ask for just am guidance, that, oh Allah, guide me. However, we asked for the path upon which those people were treading, that Allah bestowed His favors. Minan nabiyyin wa siddiqeen wa shuhada wa salihin. That path. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to point out that you have asked for it, and now this, in this book, you will truly find no doubt. There's no doubt. So any waswasa, any whispers come from shaitan, even though they may exist, do not attend to them. Because there is no book, and there cannot be no book, no doubt in this book. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He wishes to point out that you asked for guidance, and now I am going to tell you exactly how to get guidance. And what form of guidance will you receive from the Holy Quran? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, هُدَى لِلْمُتَّقِينَ. Which type of guidance? The guidance for the mindful. The guidance that will get you to the path of the Salihin, the guidance of the Muttaqeen. And we learned from previous that there's different forms of guidance. But Allah wishes for you to be on this guidance. Allah wishes for your life to be fully in line with all the injunctions of the Prophet ﷺ, the Sunnah. All the injunctions we find in the Quran without you understanding them or understanding them. With you understanding them or not understanding. Allah wishes for you to be on this path and this path alone. And if you come to the Quran with this objective approach that, oh Allah, I'm leaving my desires and now I'm willing to accept what you wish for me, now we can start the book. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He defines iman, He defines belief. And He says, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ. And He defines the characteristics of the muttaqeen. He defines the sifat of the muttaqeen. So He says, those that believe in the unseen. And with one lafaz, with one word, He gives a totally comprehensive and holistic meaning of iman. He says, the believing in the books, believing in the angels, believing. And iman really, really truly means, it means, is to accept completely with yaqeen and certitude the statement made by someone, right? And having total trust in him without any observation. So if I said to brother Tunsi, if I said, this is my phone, and he saw it and he said that, yes, it's your phone, that wouldn't be him bringing iman upon my statement. It would actually be him doing the tasdeeq of my statement based on his observation. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gives the first characteristics of the muttaqeen, and that is the fact that they believe on everything Allah has told them, regardless of if they see it or not. If, like Abu Bakr Siddiq, he went and they came to him and they said that your Prophet now says that he went to Baytul Maqdis and the heavens and back in one night, his bed was still, and he said, Aman, you know, I bring iman on that. This is true iman. This is the first sifat of those people who tread the path of the straight path. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in two words, He gives a holistic view of ibadah, of worship. One, He says, wa yuqimu salah, and yuqimu is derived from iqama. It means to straighten, completely straighten. And this, wa yuqimu salah, it means fulfilling the spiritual, the internal etiquette of salah. When you hear an ayah of rahm, you become humbled, your heart becomes soft, you have hope in the mercy of Allah. If you hear an ayat of khawf, then you go ahead and you become fearful, you might shed tears. This is the inner spiritual feeling and kayfiyat and the etiquettes that salah requires, number one. Number two, all the external etiquette, meaning your clothes are clean, if you can go to the masjid, you go to the masjid. So the muttaqeen, they know, at this point in time, I should be doing this. You have the time, you can go to the masjid, so they go to the masjid. The muttaqeen, what do? They know that their wudu, maybe they should refresh their wudu, they refresh their wudu. They know that maybe that they the time is passing, and they're looking at the time, and they know that they have that time, so they don't delay upon their salah. This is a characteristic you'll find upon in those people who are treading the straight path. And this is the bodily worship that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in two lafaz, in two words, He defines in a holistic way all the aspects of worship. And then He says, those people who spend from what we have given them, what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given them. And this means zakat, this means sadaqah. This doesn't mean just wealth, but this means possibly a date, possibly clothes. So it encompasses everything. Ma is am. Ma man is a musul, is am, and encompasses everything. And then Alama Anwar Shah Kashmiri rahmatullah alayhi, he says, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in one word has defined iman, he says that basically iman is one thing, and Islam is another thing. Islam, they are lazim and mazlum. Meaning that if you have Iman, you have to be also have Islam. And if you have Islam, you also have to have Iman. They're lazim and mazlum. So, Iman starts from the heart. Alladhina yu'minuna bil ghaib. Iman starts from the heart, belief. And then it manifests itself and perfects itself. وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ It manifests itself externally, and it becomes perfected and encompasses that person's entire life. And this we learn from the two words, وَيُقِيمُ الصَّلَاةِ وَمِمَّا رَزَقْنَاهُمْ يُنْفِقُونَ And Islam starts externally. It begins externally. لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله. It begins externally. You start to see it on your external being. However, then it goes inside and it perfects itself when it reaches your heart and manifests itself as Iman. This is how the Mufassirin have defined Iman in Islam. And this is where we learn about hypocrisy. This is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes to define also Iman and get us away from that Iman which is just lafzi, which is tongue. And He wishes for us to follow that Iman which is in our eternal being. In our whole being, in a holistic view, it manifests itself in our entire life, in spending, in ibadat, with our body, with our wealth, with everything, with our energy, etc. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ وَمَا أُنزِلَ مِنْ قَبْلِكَ وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ Those people that believe on that which was revealed to you and that which was revealed before you. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He sent this down and He wishes for us to understand that at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, there was two types of people. There were those people that believed in the idols and then those people that believed in the previous books. There was two types of people. There were people who worshipped idols and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He talks about them in the first thing, وَالَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِمَا أُنزِلَ إِلَيْكَ They believed in idols, but they bring Iman upon you and what you have brought, which is the Qur'an. For them is one reward. And then those people that used to believe in the previous books, which is the Jews and the Christians, and then they accepted the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam as the Nabi, and they believed in the Qur'an as it was revealed, for them Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has kept two rewards. And also in this ayat, we learn that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, He uses the word qabl. He uses the word qabl, which means previous, right? He didn't use ba'd. And we know in this time that there are people who claim that after the Prophet, na'udhu billah, there is another Prophet. There is another Prophet. And we won't go too much into that, but there is another Prophet. So Allah from the get-go, wishes to establish the fact that this is now the only source of guidance for mankind. It does not matter which book you pick up, this is the only source. This is the only way to get the true hidayat from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the only prophet to be followed from now on till the end of time is the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam. Then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He says, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He said, أَلَّذِينَ يُؤْمِنُونَ بِالْغَيْبِ He said that those believe on the ghaib. Naturally, the akhirah, the hereafter, fell into the category of the ghaib. It fell into the category of the word ghaib. However, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He reiterates it. He says it again, وَبِالْآخِرَةِ هُمْ يُوقِنُونَ And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He didn't use the word يُؤْمِنُ. He used يُوقِنُونَ That they have full yaqeen in the akhirah. Another characteristic of the muttaqin. And we know that this akhirah, this is a word and this is a concept that has a revolutionary type function. And the reason is because although we have laws in this society, right? But the only thing that can truly make a person know that I have to be straight 100% at every given point in time if he fears something that he knows is going to punish him. If I steal today and I don't get caught, then the law can't punish me. But if a person is living his life, when he sees and has in front of him this akhirah, then he knows that even when he is being seen by people, or when he is alone, that he is going to be accountable on the day of Qiyamah. And this is from where we find the pristine society that existed at the time of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. وَبِالْ آخِرَةِ هُمْ يُقِنُونَ. That they had full yaqeen on the akhirah, and this is the where we find in all the lives, in all the companions' lives, in the life of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, that they walked, and when they were the dealings with somebody, they didn't see the person, but they saw Allah and the akhirah. And then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he has in the next ayah, he says, أُولَٰئِكَ عَلَىٰ هُدًى مِّن رَبِّهِمْ وَأُولَٰئِكَ هُمُ الْمُفْلِحُونَ. That if you follow these and bring these into your life, and if you understand the concept of which guidance Allah wishes to give you from this Qur'an, Imam Ahmad bin Hanbal, he had in a dream and he asked Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he asked Allah, he said, O Allah, that when a person recites the Qur'an knowing its meaning, and when he recites the Qur'an not knowing its meaning, what is the difference and what type of reward will he get? So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he told him that a person who recites the Qur'an, and this is mainly for the youngsters, the person who recites the Qur'an, because they always have this thing that, oh, you know, we don't understand the Qur'an. When you listen to the Qur'an, when you recite the Qur'an, the Arabic text that was revealed to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and if you go a step forward and understand the Qur'an, that there is reward and there is guidance in it for you. If you sit with focus and you say, I'm going to read one ruku a day, right? And you just read that one ruku, Allah has saw you, Allah has understood what's in your heart, Allah has seen that this person is now looking for guidance. Now the ghaibi nizam is going into place. So when there is a rasta, there is a way for you to pick toward good and evil, and naturally, by your being, maybe the environment, you may have taken this way. Now Allah Himself is coming, putting it in your heart, and now you're gaining the tawfiq to take this path. And this is what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wishes. And from this we learn that these are the people that are going to be completely muflihun, that are going to be amongst the totally successful. And we wish that we also become amongst the successful. Subhana rabbika rabbil izzati amma yasifun wa salamun ala al-mursalin walhamdulillah.